It's the Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy Show, making healthy living fun for everyone.
I want to congratulate you on your show. It's really great.
Well, thank you. That's great to hear.
And I actually have your book, You Can't Lose Weight Alone. I love it.
You guys are excellent. I check you guys out every week.
I love your show. And every week I learn something new, so I think it's great.
Well, thank you. We appreciate it.
Join Dr. Fitness.
You know, it's no longer a six-pack. Now it's the 8-pack and the 12-pack.
And the Fat Guys.
Or what I have, the pony keg.
They deliver the skinny. On Getting Skinny.
Doctor, back in the studio.
Yes, Lee, we deliver the skinny on Getting Skinny.
You got that?
I like that.
Did you forget about that?
You know, the sound definitely sounds better in this. I don't know what's going on.
Really?
I feel like it's in stereo now. When I heard the intro there, it sounded better.
Well, I think this is the first time you actually listened to it.
No, it's something sounds better. I don't know. Whatever you're doing.
It's magic.
It's working.
Nice.
Lee, how you doing today? I know you were away last weekend
in Orlando, Florida. A lot to report for me this week.
Go ahead. What happened? Tell me about, first of all, workout-wise, what'd you do?
I just walked at Harry Potter Land. I broke the record of
land
the amount
speed?
Of
Is this the land speed record?
The amount of steps and the amount of miles per day.
What was your, what's your new record?
Both days were over 20,000 steps.
Full, get out.
20,000 steps.
There's no way you can walk 20,000. With that knee of yours, how did you walk 20,000 steps?
It was, one day was over 10 miles, and then the other day was like 9.5.
That thing needs to be calibrated again.
No.
That it's working? The Fitbit works? It's perfect?
The Fitbit is always tells the truth.
It never lies.
Believe me, there's plenty of 1,500 step days. I know it's not lying.
And you went ten, like, how many hours were you walking?
What nonstop, was morning to night.
So what happened when you got done? Were you exhausted? Were your knees bothering you?
No, because I'm in great shape.
It felt just like a 1,500 step walking day? No.
A little sore.
You're a little sore. 20,000 you did in one day?
2 days in a row, back to back.
20,000? Man.
And then it was funny because when we were coming back from Orlando, this was the weekend of their half marathon, the Disney half marathon. So all the people were there.
The Disney half marathon. Right, right. The marathon's over Christmas time.
So they have their medals and their little tiaras, these women. And then they're like, oh, we did the Disney. And I'm like, I don't care. I just did 10 miles myself. I was like, what's the big deal? I was at a theme park. I mean, it's not that big of an achievement.
Man, that's really good. 20,000 steps.
Twice. That's 40,000 steps in 2 days.
You know what that means, though? That requires lots of calories.
Exactly. I made up for it. Don't worry. I was probably lost. I didn't win.
It was. I saw there was a picture of you with lots of burgers.
Yeah, that was at Universal. It was, let me tell you about Harry Potter Land.
Yeah.
For all the people who like Harry Potter and are considering going to that theme park. Just so you know, J.K. Rowling is the brains behind Harry Potter. The J.K. stands for just cash, because you better bring a lot of it.
It's expensive.
If you're in the mood for an $8 cream soda, then that's your place.
That's the
I'm telling you, we dropped at breakfast, you know, eggs, bacon, you know, regular breakfast.
Yeah.
$60 for all of us.
Oh, it sounds like you stayed at the St. Regis.
In the park. At the park.
This isn't the St. Regis Orlando?
No. I'm giving you an idea of what things cost. Breakfast for four, $60 in Harry Potter Land.
Uh-huh.
For lunch, we went to Emeralds. Okay? Emeralds. Oh,
I've
heard
done
of
that.
Emerald?
I've done that. Terrible.
Lunch was $60.
Yeah.
So a lunch at Emeralds or a breakfast of, I don't even know, space-age dried scrambled eggs.
It's all the same. It all counts the same. Counts the same. Right.
So it's your call. How you want to spend your money. It was crazy.
Man, so how was the food? Was it actually good?
Emeralds was good. The food at Harry Potter was terrible. The cream soda. If you like Harry Potter, you have to go. There's one ride you have to go to, and go to it first. Don't let the line sneak up on you, because that's the only thing in any of these theme parks that has any line at all. It's this one ride in Harry Potter. You have to do that the first thing as soon as you
get
there.
How long does that ride take, by the way?
Now they have it so that walking through the line is part of the ride. You know, it's not...
Right.
You know, they,
it's interactive when you're on the line. It's
so they're trying to make it seem like, oh, you're not waiting in line. You're interacting. No, I'm waiting in line, but now I'm looking at pictures of Harry Potter while looking in line. And then you get onto the ride. The ride, it takes, I don't know, a few minutes. A couple
minutes.
Ride. Right.
That's it.
And then you will wait an hour plus, unless you get there like super early.
Really? So that must have been a lot of fun.
Oh, it was so much fun.
You must have
had a great time.
Now, did you walk around the park while your kid and your wife waited in line and then
no,
you just came back?
No, we all did everything together.
You did everything together.
Yes, we do things as a family. I know it's hard for you to grasp this.
That's an interesting concept.
Family is important to us. That's how we roll.
Well, maybe to you and your wife. I'm sure it's not that important to your son.
No, my kid, it's the key thing.
It's the key element of everything. It's what makes him makes him whole.
He likes to be around us.
So, okay, so you went to the park, and what days were you there?
Sunday and Monday.
Sunday and Monday. So a weekday.
Well, that was the strategy, was to go to Harry Potter on a Monday when there would be less crowds.
So did you notice anything different about the Monday? Was it less crowds on that Monday?
No, because Harry Potter is the only place. We went to both theme parks. Universal has Islands of Adventure and Universal Theme Park.
Yep.
And they were both completely empty, except for Harry Potter. Harry Potter was the only place where there were people in. Every other ride you can get on in 15 minutes, you know, you're in. Harry Potter, it's just jam-packed with people. And it was interesting. It was mostly Europeans that are attracted to Harry Potter. It wasn't the Asians. The Asians, you go to Disney.
You mean the Asians?
The Asians love Disney.
They love Disney.
You go to Disney, Asians everywhere.
Yeah.
And I love Asians. You know, Chinese food is one of my favorite foods. So I love Asian. It's just Disney overflowing with Asians. Harry Potter, not so much.
You know, it's funny you say that because Asians love Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy. I think in Thailand...
Really?
That's one of our biggest, when you look at our ranking, our Alexa ranking, our biggest Alexa ranking comes in, I think, Cambodia or Thailand.
There you go. I don't know what to make of that. Maybe it's all the recipes that we're doing.
That's right. All those recipes. So you're saying Asians love
Disney. And Europeans and love Harry Potter.
Now, when you say Europeans, what does that mean?
It's a whole a bunch of
Germans. Are we talking Germans? Are we talking English? I would think the English love
English for sure. But this is how cynical I am. Just so you know, whenever I heard someone speaking with a British accent, I assumed they were faking it just to be part of the Harry Potter scene.
Right.
So I started talking with a British accent throughout the thing.
And then
I'm like, I'm doing it now. So I'm like, I don't know if there were really British people there, but there were people that sounded like British people there.
Right. Well, that's...
If you like Harry Potter, you got to go check it out because it is amazing. The architecture in some areas, if you look a certain way, you're transported there. But if you're not into Harry Potter...
Which you're not.
It's just a theme park to me.
Well, speaking of British people, Lee, we had the Academy Awards this past week.
I'll take your word for that.
You watched a little bit of it over the weekend.
I saw some of it, but that's not, I'm not into
well,
that.
Well, I happened to, you know, the King's Speech won for Best Picture.
I thought it was Martin Luther King. It was British people.
And
I don't know what
Martin Luther, I mean, Colin Firth won for Best Actor. Did you see that
and
movie?
I thought that was Colin Quinn. See, this whole thing is not for me. I can't
did
follow
you see?
Any of the
did you see the
no,
King's Speech?
None of that. None of it.
It was a great movie. I just
saw
it.
There's no way you saw it.
I did. I saw it. I saw it on Wednesday, on Tuesday night, and it was absolutely fantastic. Great movie, and a great story behind the movie. Really, really. I had no idea what this movie was about. I really did not know. I did not know what time period this was going to be in. I had no idea what this movie was about, and I was pleasantly surprised.
I only see comedies or action movies.
Well,
so if it doesn't fit into those two buckets, I am not going to.
Have you seen Just Go With It yet? With Sandler?
Yes.
And Jennifer Aniston?
Terrible.
You gave it a terrible?
Terrible.
I don't know. That Jennifer Aniston, she's like a fine wine. She's just getting better and better with aging.
What about Nicole Kidman's abs?
She does nothing for me. She's frightening.
What about those abs?
She looks frightening to me. She does not. That's not the look I'm looking for. But anyway. And Sandler is getting better. Looks better with age.
Well, he didn't have a lot going for him initially.
Anyway, Lee... I can't tell you, first of all, the news has been bombarded, and I'm going to bring it up because it's so important to our show. I'm going to tell you why we're going to tie this in and how it's so important to the show. Charlie Sheen. Unbelievable what's going on with this guy, right?
Yes.
Crazy what's happening. And the thing that amazes me about Charlie Sheen is that with all of what's going on with this guy, he still managed to fit in his workouts with all the chaos. I saw him on TV the other day. He was talking. He was on the Today Show. He was on Good Morning America. He has been on a media junket like you can't believe. And the one thing that stood out to me was the fact that he was able to still work out. That's a guy that's
How
committed.
Do you know he's still working
they
out?
Showed him working out.
That's what they show.
No,
PR
he's
people.
Still working. That was amazing to me. The guy is still hitting it hard. Guy's taking off his shirt. He's lifting weights. It's unbelievable. And
I think he's on a special diet. I think he's using supplementation.
First of all, it's like watching a train wreck. How can anybody look at this any of these interviews and think this guy is not hooked on drugs?
You don't know he's hooked on drugs.
He's totally hooked.
I don't think so.
He's on something. He looks like Christian Bale from The Fighter, the movie The Fighter. He looks like the guy he played. Have you seen that movie?
No, it's not a comedy or an action movie, is it? So then, therefore, I have not seen it.
But it's like Rocky. So, yeah, so...
No, I think...
Yeah, so that was another... this whole Charlie Sheen thing is just getting out of hand, but...
I think people are picking on him.
You think people are picking on him?
Look, if it wasn't for him, that show wouldn't be... You know, no one's going to see John Cryer in a TV show.
But
okay?
You know what's so funny? All these people that are coming out and commenting about him, Bret Michaels, Sean Penn, all saying what a great guy he is. I mean...
Maybe he's a good sharer. That's my thing.
he's a good sharer.
He obviously, the ladies love him.
And then Christina Aguilera, another one.
That was sad. She's in a dark place.
She's in the dark. Thank God for Charlie Sheen. That's what Christina Aguilera said.
Well, the good
right
thing
now.
About Charlie Sheen is he's taking everybody else off the front page.
Right. Gaddafi's taking Gaddafi off the front page too.
I think him and Gaddafi are working together.
If it wasn't for Charlie Sheen, the $3.50 gas price per gallon would be front page news. But Charlie Sheen has managed to kind of keep the gas prices at bay.
He's doing a service
to our government. Absolutely. Anyway, well, thanks, Charlie Sheen, for showing how important it is to stay motivated
to
exercise.
Get him on. Maybe he can give us some weight loss tips because he has a good way of keeping.
Well,
his
you know,
weight
it's
down.
Funny. Howard Stern offered him his own radio show, so he can just chime in whenever he wants to. Instead of having the media come to him, he just put. They said that we'll put a microphone downstairs in his house.
Yeah.
In what's that house called now? The porn house. He created this crazy.
He has goddesses.
Goddesses and warlocks. He's got warlocks.
He's on Twitter now. He's probably got a million followers.
Yeah, he's broken the world record for Twitter fans in the shortest amount of time. So pretty amazing stuff. Okay, Lee, let's bring in our first guest today. I'm excited to talk to Karen Jasinski. She is the creator of O2 Max Fitness. And
she's a visionary.
Yeah, visionary and plus also trying to get... kids, teenagers, people in college as well, using the prom as a milestone for people to try to get ready to lose weight. I never thought this, Lee. Did you actually even go to your prom?
No. No one asked me.
Nobody asked you to go to your prom?
No.
Well, we're going to talk about the idea of O2 Max Fitness and staying healthy and keeping teens active. Anyway, welcome to the show, Karen.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. Now, first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself. I want to know, first of all, how you went from, you know, being such an athletic child, being so involved in sports, to creating O2 Max Fitness.
Well, I was active as a kid, and then
you were super active.
I was pretty active, yes. I studied business in college and marketing specifically. Worked for a few years. I always knew that I wanted my own business. I grew up in an entrepreneurial environment. My parents had restaurants. Grandparents were entrepreneurs.
What is that like? What is that like? When you say a strong entrepreneurial family, what was that like? Was it like, you know, was it like a think tank in your house? Like how did, when you say that, tell us a little bit more about that environment.
So my parents had a restaurant. They worked a lot. You know, I was the oldest of two. So growing up, they were not home a lot, especially in the beginning as they were building their business, and they're still around. You know, their business is still around 35, 36 years, I think, now.
Wow.
And
what's the name of the restaurant?
The fat guy wants to – he always likes to go to new restaurants.
In-N-Out Burger?
No. It's a kosher Middle Eastern vegetarian restaurant.
Holy smokes.
Restaurant.
I hit the mother load. I have to check this out.
Are you anywhere near New Jersey ever?
Am I? Yeah, I grew up in New Jersey.
Okay, which part?
I grew up in Central Jersey, but the fat guy, Dr. Fitness and the fat guy are coming to New York in April. We may have to check out this kosher place.
Yeah.
Wow, that's fantastic. I did not know that. That's why I asked.
It's in Livingston, New Jersey, so pretty close to New York.
I know it well. I know it well.
My parents would be happy to have you.
I don't have a frequent visitor card. Can I still go?
No, I'm sure they'd be happy to have you. So, but they worked a lot. And as a kid, they were always very supportive of my sister and I figuring out what we wanted to do. They never really wanted us or expected us to work in the restaurant. Yeah, we'd help out here and there. But I remember as a kid, certain customers would come in and my dad would give them a free pizza or not make them pay. And I'd get upset because that was revenue that he wasn't taking. And fast forward many years later, I now have my own business and I can look back and appreciate some of the things that he did, in terms of customer service. And, there are certain customers that bring lots of business and referrals, so you want to treat them extra special.
Right.
So I can, really appreciate those things that as a kid I didn't understand.
Now, when your parents were working, were you bringing guys over to the house?
No. And I went to a Jewish school, so.
Yeah, Lee. How could she do that?
Jews don't bring guys over?
No.
Really?
No, when they have a kosher restaurant, they're not bringing the guys home. Absolutely not.
Is that offensive?
Yes. Offensive to me.
Why would it be offensive?
I don't know. It sounds offensive to me.
If your parents had a restaurant, first of all, you would never leave.
What does that have to do with O2 Max Fitness? I want to know. What does that have anything to do?
Part of her story.
Okay.
I'm trying to get to see facets of her.
I'm
seeing one part of her.
Karen, fast forward now to tell us a little bit more about, tell us a little bit more about how you got out to California and your passion for fitness. How did that transcend into creating a facility that helps, kids and everyone get fit?
So, I worked for a few years with the intention of wanting to go back to business school. That was a personal goal I had for myself. I wanted my own business. And I spent a year figuring out what that business was going to be. And fitness and restaurants were the two industries that really interested me. And when I first moved to California after college, I didn't know anyone. I met a lot of people through different fitness classes, gyms, workouts. And that's a large part of how my social network started, and I was always really good, even growing up in high school, at bringing friends to try a step class with me or kickboxing. And I had quit my job, was applying to business school, trying to figure out what I wanted to do, and I was working out a lot. And
you got hurt.
Friends with me. I got hurt when I was in business school.
Oh, okay.
I was in a bicycle accident. But I thought, I'm doing this every day. I love it. If I can get paid to do this while I'm in grad school, that would be a pretty cool way to make some money. So I had about 6 part-time jobs during that year, both in different parts of fitness and restaurants. And one of them was working as a personal trainer. And early on, a lot of my clients were parents who had kids, mostly middle school, high school. Excuse me. And they started asking me to work with them. So I would do private training. I would introduce some of the kids to each other. And at the same time, I was looking for ideas. And, this was 2002. So, youth obesity was in the media a lot. I was hearing more and more about budget cuts, PE programs being cut out. And some of the kids I was working with were athletes that had gotten injured and didn't know how to stay active. Some kids that weren't interested in going to a gym but weren't allowed because of their age. And others that weren't really athletic, and there wasn't really an opportunity for them to be active.
Right.
So that's how the idea really started to evolve. And then I started graduate school in 2003. I did the entrepreneur program at USC, used a lot of my classes to help me flesh out the business idea, work on the business plan. And the original idea was to create a cool, fun social venue where teens could work out, hang out, listen to music, do their homework, and ultimately have different programs, products, services, all targeted to the youth market. And I knew that the internet had to be a big part of what we were doing because that's how kids interact and communicate.
Right.
But, this was now 2005 when I was working on the business plan, and Facebook, just started, and it was, hardly what it is now.
Now,
I didn't know if I had to build my own social network or tap into something else. MySpace was really the one that was prominent then.
Now, did you realize? Realize that you had to? Now, when you talk about all the using the social networking, Facebook and Twitter and all these other things, did you realize you had to have a brick and mortar place to do all this stuff, or you know, because O2 Max Fitness, it's a facility, correct?
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
We do programming and content. Yeah.
Okay, so
you guys do events, right?
It's event based.
Yeah, events, online based programs, group programs at different facilities.
I got you. So you go to different facilities and create these fitness things for teens and kids as well.
Yeah, and a lot of it's really centered online, but then we'll help feed teens and college students and now tweens into different places where they can try different workouts and do different classes as well.
So what do the teenagers like to do now? Do they like boot camps, or what kind of activities are you doing for them?
Well, it's interesting. So when I first started the studio, I had more girls coming, and then it kind of shifted where girls tended to be a little bit more private, and that's how the online part of the business really started to evolve, especially with prom and now college. And we started getting more boys coming in, and, you know, girls, I think they're a little bit more private. They do a lot of things at home. They'll do their own research. So we really started coaching them more online, where they could do workouts at home or fit them into their schedule. They'd like taking classes, but you know, they're often intimidated to go into an existing fitness club, not knowing where to start if they've never been inside one. So we try to break that barrier down where they start with us, we give them stuff to do, they can interact with us online, either through Facebook or email or text messaging, asking questions, getting advice. And with boys, it's really more about being hands-on. You know, they love going to the gym, messing around with weights. You know, I'm finding now some of the younger kids that I'm working with, there are a lot of commonalities as far as lack of core strength or upper body strength, balance, coordination. You know, even in older kids or, you know, friends of mine or clients of mine that are in their 30s, 40s, you know, that have had injuries. And it always comes back to strengthening your core first, strengthening your back first.
Right.
So that you don't get injured. So you know, I'm finding a lot of the younger kids are not getting these things at school, either because they don't have PE at all, or they don't have enough PE, or there's more of an emphasis on sports. And if, you know, certain kids don't develop at the same level or speed as some of the other kids, then they fall behind, and there isn't really an avenue for them to work on these things unless they get extra help.
Now, do both genders, do they work out? Do you find things that they both like to do together, or is it better if boys just, you know, stick to working out with other boys and girls the same way?
And we mostly work with tweens and teens. You know, college students are more on their own, where we help fit workouts into their schedule that they could do on their own time. But I think, you know, tween, you know, kind of elementary school, middle school, it's sort of that age where they're very self-conscious about their bodies.
Right.
So it's a lot better to keep them separate because it gives them more of a platform to start feeling comfortable and ask questions where they wouldn't be as likely to do that, you know, with someone of the opposite sex around. But on the same note, we interact with them a lot on email or text. So there's definitely been a shift. When I first started the business, I had kind of a crash course on Facebook because that was the only way that teens would respond. And, you know, fast forward several years later, a lot of them are on email now, where before they wouldn't respond because they all have their cell phones that gets email. So
right.
They're a lot more responsive on email. And the younger kids that are not allowed on Facebook do have cell phones, and they do have email coming to their cell phone. So they're responsive that way as well, which is very interesting.
Can you share, like, if I'm going to sign up for this prom fitness class?
You're not going to sign up for no prom fitness class, Lee. There's no way.
Am I allowed, or is there, like, an age limit?
Yeah, you have to be able to have to go to a prom.
No.
Can't be a 45-year-old male that, you know, wants to go to a prom. That's a little scary, a little frightening.
I'll have to clear that with my parole officer. What what's it like if a girl is interested in taking this class? What's the experience? They go to promfitness.com and then they sign up, or is there a way to try it first, or how do you know what you're getting? Can you kind of walk us through the program?
Are there a lot of dietary guidelines too with this, Karen? Is that
So first of all, I'm not a big diet person. It's really more about lifestyle and balance. So, you know, what happened with prom, you know, I was working with a lot of girls, and they kept hearing about detox diets, wanting to lose weight, and asking which one I recommended, which one I suggested. And, you know, I realized prom was something that a lot of them kind of kicked into gear. You know, I need to lose weight, kind of like, you know, a lot of women when they get married, I need to lose weight, I need to look good in my dress. And it really became a milestone, a platform that really got them interested in listening. You know, how do you exercise properly? I want more toned arms, even if I'm a basketball player and I'm really active. So, you know, they really started becoming a lot more self-conscious and aware. And it became a way to teach them how to eat properly, exercise properly, understand their body types. So it's not just about looking good. It's about being strong and fit. And you could do the same thing as your friends, but you're probably built differently, which means you'll have different results. So understanding what dresses look better on your body type, what exercises are more appropriate for your body type. And this year we set up 3 different programs. So our basic one is $50, where you can do it anywhere across the country. So you just sign up on promfitness.com. You get a workout program, some basic nutrition information, and then you also get perks. So you might get discounts to save money on dresses, on makeup, on hair. You might get free samples of different nutrition products that we work with. I don't use supplements at all, so it's all natural stuff that, you know, doctors can comfortably send their patients to us because we're not pushing anything like that. And then locally right now, we also have packages where you could do the workout at home, but then you also get to sample different workouts at different facilities. So it might be a yoga class, a spin class, a ballet class, a dance class. So, you know, we're giving them an opportunity to try different types of fitness that fit into their schedule without a really expensive commitment.
Go ahead.
That's okay. During the time that you're doing the program, you also get to interact online. So basically, it's an opportunity to ask anything you want about fitness, nutrition. You know, we'll tweak the workouts if you need help, if it's not working for you.
That sounds great. Now, Karen, you were also featured in the Entrepreneur Magazine. The O2 Max was the Max Fitness was featured. So you're not, you know, you've kind of excelled in this area. You're not just the person that just says, oh, I like to work out. You've really kind of researched and done all of your due diligence with going to school and putting all this stuff together. How did you come up with the insight to kind of, you know, sit back and...
She went to USC.
I know. She didn't go to Rutgers. She went to USC. That might be one of the reasons.
Is there a mentor in here? Is there somebody that
changed your life that made you kind of like, you know, you sound very smart.
Thank you. There are a lot of mentors. I think, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs, you always hear them say they're not that smart. They surround themselves with people that are smarter than them. But I think, you know, it's understanding what you're good at, what you're not as good at, and being humble and being willing to learn and take feedback and criticism is a big part of it. So, you know, early on when I was coming up with the idea, I identified who I admired, who had built something that I thought was really great, and how can I meet them? How can I learn from them? So, you know, putting myself in situations where I could potentially meet those people, so going to conferences, trade shows, networking events, and, you know, just listening as much as I could. And
see how she purposely avoided us? You
No, she said the right thing. She went to find the people that she thought was doing great stuff.
Notice we weren't on that list.
We weren't on that list. That's a good – stay away from the people that you don't admire.
I just met you guys, right?
Now, you are also the first USC recipient of an SBA loan from the USC Credit Union. How is that possible? What is that? Now, again, Lee, she is – this is a smart person we're talking to. How did you pull that off, Karen?
A lot of it was relationship building. You know, I think anyone that's going to give you money or, you know, even send your kid to you, you know, they want to know that you're trustworthy and you're serious about what you're doing. So I did have some friends of friends put some money in, and everything that I had I'd put in. And I had applied for an SBA loan, but it took a few years, you know, where they also want to see that you're really committed. And, you know, by committed, they want to see that you've invested not just your own sweat, but, you know, capital into it. So you have as much at stake. And, you know, I was very active while I was at USC in the Entrepreneur Club. I met the editor of Entrepreneur Magazine at the time. They started chronicling the development of the business, which gave me a lot of exposure and validation early on. And then within the fitness industry, started getting a lot of recognition and awards for what I was doing and, you know, tapping the youth market that was so baffling and hard to reach. So, yeah, I've put in my time. You know, it hasn't been easy, but it's been fun and rewarding and challenging. You know, I think they want to see that. And, I mean, they've given a lot of SBA loans since then, but I think, you know, because I was so active with USC and because of some of the media recognition I did get early on, you know, that helped validate what I was doing and show that I was really serious about it. And I wasn't just going to take the money and run.
Right. Now, also, you said that you, one of the things that was important to you was building a team and surrounding yourself with people that were, you know, that knew a lot. Tell us about your team and the people you have surrounding you in O2 Max Fitness.
They vary to different degrees. I mean, I've got, you know, senior business advisors who, you know, do their own thing. You know, whenever I have a specific issue or challenge or problem or turning point, you know, that I really can use help with, I reach out to them. And I've been really lucky that I do have some great successful people helping in that arena.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, on a more localized daily, weekly, monthly level, you know, it varies to different degrees where I have different trainers, instructors that I'll work with for different programming purposes or events, you know, on the marketing front, continuously tapping into high school and college students. So it's really a strong mentoring environment as well.
Right.
You know, where it's very hands-on. You know, I love doing that stuff, and I love teaching and giving back. But it's also been really valuable because I am working with that population. So they're not going to be excited to go to something if they're not excited about it, and they're not going to bring their friends. So having them help with the marketing and the planning and the promoting has been critical. So, you know, that's a large part of who the, you know, everyday team is. And then, you know, in bigger challenges and, you know, platforms, business proposals, I'll tap into different business advisors.
Now, when you're working with these high school kids, are you finding that generation being self-motivated, or do you really have to kind of incent them with stuff, or are they self-starters?
It's pretty mixed, and yeah, I think it's also changed over the years. And I think part of being an entrepreneur and part of just growing up and maturing and understanding your needs better, you know what to look for. You know, so I've tried a lot of different things, but, you know, the kids that are really reliable and committed are the ones that are interested in learning and don't just look at it as a job, you know, where they're in it for the paycheck.
And the ones that
usually doesn't work.
And the ones that aren't motivated, you just tell them the classes are full, right? That's, you just get rid of those people. Like, oh, we're full, we're busy, we got too many people here, we can't use you today, sorry.
Yeah.
Right. Now, being in LA, right, that's where you're located, in California?
Yeah.
Los Angeles. And now, is it frustrating for you being out there where it's kind of like the mecca of the fitness world, where, you know, if you work with one of these Hollywood celebrities, all of a sudden whatever you're doing becomes the next latest and greatest thing, whereas you know, working with kids, you know, it's not as sexy and spicy and as, like, say, I'm the trainer for
Justin Bieber.
Right. Or I'm working with, you
celebrity
know,
one of, kids. That's the secret.
Right. Is that frustrating for you, or are you moving towards, you know, working with celebrities to get the word out about, you know, the, you know, working with teenagers and kids going off to college as well?
A combination. I mean, I moved out California initially for the weather, you know, my intention was not to live here forever, but it is the better part of the country, I think. And, you know, when I moved here, I didn't know what kind of business I wanted to have. And in hindsight, it all makes sense now because a lot of fitness trends and programs and concepts have originated here. And you can argue that Los Angeles could be a challenging place to raise kids because there's Beverly Hills and Hollywood, but it's, yeah, I grew up in New Jersey right outside New York and, you know, relatively affluent area as well. And it's not that different, I don't think, when you don't have Hollywood.
Yeah, Livingston's like, Livingston is like Hollywood. It's a little crazy. Yeah, that's a little crazy in Livingston. Yeah, now it is, absolutely. But
yeah,
not
15 years ago, but right. You know, working with kids, you know, and a large part of why I felt the internet had to be a big part of what we were doing is because, yeah, everyone reads the People magazines and Us magazines and, you know, looks at what celebrities are wearing and what they're doing, and, you know, that's their perception of what they should be doing. And, you know, with prom especially, you know, girls are doing their own research, and, you know, my goal is to be there when they're looking so that they're not straying to the wrong place, that they're getting good information and the right information and, you know, really creating a lifestyle that they can continue into college and as they become adults. It's not about a crash diet. So, you know, it's really, a lot of it is educating them, but also making it fun and cool and fitting it into their schedule, you know, which is why right now there is a big focus on prom, because that's something they can identify with and relate to and something that's really important in their lives right now. You know, and even if they're not going to prom this year, you know, it's something that, you know, tweens, you know, 12, 13-year-olds, they know they're going to want to do. And it's something that's fun and exciting. And, I mean, some of the things that come out of 10 and 12-year-olds' mouths these days, you know, as far as what their goals are, what they want to work on, you know, with their bodies,
well,
is Karen, pretty
amazing. We have a surprise for you. We have your prom date here in the studio with us.
Oh, yeah? I have a wedding to go to on Saturday.
There you go. But, you know, you have the prom fitness. We have these events. All we need now, you know, we've got to come up with the bar and bat mitzvah event as well, because my kid's getting bar mitzvah in May. So I'm sure that's going to be another big population that you
and
have
the
to
Kinsay?
Hit.
Kinsay fitness?
That's right. Got to get those working as well. Well, the website is o2maxfitness.com. The CEO, the founder, Karen Jasinski, has been talking to us about it.
And Prom Fitness.
And Prom Fitness is promfitness.com. We really appreciate you taking the time today and talking to us and further about it. And we wish you further success with it as well. And check out Karen Jasinski. Check her at o2maxfitness.com. And when you're online, make sure you check out Dr. Fitness and Fat Guy at drfitnessandthefatguy.com. Check out our website and check out our Facebook page. Become one of our friends. Go to actually our Twitter at drfitness6 and at Fat Guy as well. And become one of our friends. Communicate with us. Go to our website. There's always stuff we're giving away as well. We're giving away some of our books. We're giving away some of the DVDs that we have. Lee, a lot of stuff that's on the site that's always there.
Yes. So, lots of stuff. And you can follow our every move.
Very good. Very
good. Facebook.
Very good. Yeah, go to our website. Check it out. So, Lee, anything before we clear out today? Anything that you got going on? Anything you want to tell me about? I have a couple of things I want to tell you about.
Tell me. Please tell me. I want to
know
the
more?
Minutia of
well,
your life.
First of all, Lee, I want to let you know that something came up in the news just recently, a couple days, actually, I think yesterday. Did you know that Serena Williams suffered a pulmonary embolism?
Yes, that didn't sound good.
No, it's never good. And she's been, actually, she's been treating in the hospital for a while. And, you know, she's had several injuries. And first of all, when embolism occurs, especially when it's a pulmonary embolism, that's a blockage or a clot that's in the lungs, and it occurs when one or more of the arteries in the lungs gets clogged, and then that blockage actually travels to the lungs, where that mass, you know, if it becomes lodged and you know, it can shut off blood supply there.
Tennis is a dangerous sport.
No, but what they say that's caused from, it sounds like there's a lot of air travel, and, you know, she's traveling a lot. And, you know, when you're traveling a lot by air, you're not moving around a lot.
So you need to get up and out of your seat every hour, move around, and stay well hydrated as well. Those are the things. But they treat it typically with some blood thinners, and apparently the first 72 hours are very crucial when someone has a pulmonary embolism. It's very, very rare in an elite athlete.
Yes.
So it's kind of shocking that it happened.
But, I was shocked.
But this was the thing that also killed David Bloom, the reporter back in 03 in Iraq. You remember for NBC News?
No.
And yeah, he suffered a pulmonary embolism, and they linked that to having to be where he had to sit and be cramped in small places where he didn't get a chance to move around a lot, right, because of the beginning of the Iraq War. And you know, and that was the clot that potentially or probably killed him as well. So that
sounds like a buzzkill, this story. Why are you telling me this?
No, because it's an elite athlete. It's someone that exercises a lot, and you just don't you rarely see something that occurs. So I think it's important news for on the Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy Show.
Okay, move around when you're on the airplane. That's a tip. Get up.
Do you know anybody, Lee, that's affected you? Anybody in your family? Anything that's happened like that?
A pulmonary embolism?
Yes, pulmonary embolism.
There are no elite athletes.
Have you ever heard of that before happening?
No.
All right, Lee. Well, I want to get to something else that I think would be something that's also interesting.
Thing. Let's cut to the interesting thing.
This is interesting. First of all, doctors are now saying that teens should be banned from tanning salons.
Banned.
I thought
really?
You'd find this interesting. Yes.
What about the sun? They should be banned from being outside as well.
No.
Burkas for everyone. No. Because we can't have a child near sunlight.
This is because of spending time in a tanning salon greatly increases the chances of getting melanoma, the most aggressive, deadly form of skin cancer. And so, you know, obviously, this is not good for kids who are developing.
Or the Jersey Shore. It's not good for the Jersey Shore.
for the show Jersey Shore. According to the research cited by Dr. Sophie Bach, nearly one out of four white women ages 13 to 19 have visited a tanning salon at least once. So
is this only for white people, this law, or is this for everybody?
I don't know.
Because
I don't know, but here,
if you have a lot
of melanin,
how do you pronounce it?
Melatonin?
Whatever. If you have a lot of that, then it doesn't impact you as much, I don't think.
Yes. No, it's yes. It first of all, the thing that people should they asked somebody from the Indoor Tanning Association. I didn't realize there was such an organization.
Of course there is.
But there is the person that there's their spokesperson.
I used to be the president of the Outdoor Tanning Association.
His name is John Overstreet. And this is what he came up with.
I bet he said it's not a problem.
He thinks that parents can best determine whether or not their teenager should get a suntan.
That's good advice.
It should be monitored by the parents.
I always err on the side of letting the parents do what they think is right for their child.
Yeah. So, you know, here you're saying doctors saying kids should be staying out of tanning salons.
Well,
and,
no.
See,
I don't have a problem with doctors saying kids should stay out of tanning salons. I have a problem with them saying there should be a law that says that kids cannot go in tanning salons.
Yeah.
That's where I have a problem.
They didn't have a law. They're not creating a law. Doctors aren't creating a law.
They'd like a law.
No, they're
I'm
not,
sure they would.
No. No, they can't make money at that. They can't make money at the law.
Yeah, really. It's in their best interest if they go in the tanning salon and right. have a skin cancer, and then they can cut it out of them.
Absolutely. So there's absolutely no law. So, Lee, I thought there was another couple of things that you thought were
okay,
pretty funny.
Okay, go ahead. Hit me, doctor. It seems like you have a lot of paper around
you. I do. And this one I thought was actually brilliant. This was apparently...
Is it have to do with Bruce Springsteen?
No. This was... A diabetic California man, unnamed.
Unnamed.
He's suing an all-you-can-eat sushi restaurant. And you know why he's suing an all-you-can-eat sushi restaurant?
Mercury.
No, because I don't know if you realize this, but when you go to the all-you-can-eat sushi restaurants, they don't let you throw away the rice.
You have to eat the rice?
You have to eat the rice. They don't. They're like, if you have a plate and you just pick the fish off and your whole plate's full of rice, they throw you out.
What do you mean they throw you out?
They don't let you. They say you can't. You leave. You can't eat there.
Yeah.
You're breaking the rules. So
you got to read the rules.
So it wouldn't let him toss out the rice and fill up on the fish alone.
What if he threw it on the floor accidentally?
And so the guy's name is actually Shame. Should I tell
the
guy?
No.
Yeah, I should.
No.
It's in the article.
Is it
your friend of yours? Article? No.
Is it you?
So he said he suffered humiliation, embarrassment, and mental anguish when the staff at it's a place called Akashi Sushi charged him a la carte prices for his meal. The owner said, if you only eat the fish, I would go broke.
Then why are so you having an all-you-can-eat place?
So he needs the rice. The rice apparently
it's the filler.
It's the key ingredient.
The rice is
all
where they
you
get
can eat
you.
Sushi. You got to eat the rice.
It's all it's you can eat crazy, sushi and rice, really.
All you can eat. But you can't eat, if you don't eat, you get in trouble. I thought that was.
It's really not all you can eat.
Yeah, I thought that was hysterical. And also, Lee, a 9-year-old New York City kid got suspended.
Yes.
Did you hear about this?
No.
He got suspended because he put a sign on another kid, the classic kick me sign. And he got suspended, apparently,
because
he put the sign and kicked me on the kid. You know, this is the bullying.
Oh, bullying.
These aren't
right.
You're bullying, you know, the bullying laws now. Now, this is a clip, but this was a classic. My kids still do this to me. Yeah. My kids put a little sticker on me and go, you know.
Like, I'm an idiot.
Right, I'm an idiot, or kick me, right? So this is apparently is breaking infraction A37.
I'm sure there is an infraction number for that specifically. Is it just the words kick me? Could you put, like, kiss me?
I don't know, but kick me, kick me.
Kick is violent.
He got suspended. And so, look, I'm all for kids not getting bullied. This, I don't know, falls into bullying. What do you think? Is this a bullying act?
I think we're going to have to learn where the line between teasing.
You know, we're experts on kids. You know that now. We are experts on raising kids, keeping kids active. But now, here's the thing. When it says kick me, that's a skill to kick. Right? That's like running, jumping. Kicking is part of that. So you can argue the fact that probably want to see how well you can kick.
You got to learn teasing, bullying. You know, they're trying to make these blanket laws. They're black and white.
Yes.
So anything is bad. And so you got to do nothing. You know, it's a tough one.
Right. Well, anyway, the last thing I have to tell you, Lee, is that there was an Australian fisherman that was thrown off of his boat last week by a large rogue wave.
And it's because the boat had a kick me sign on it.
No.
That's what the researchers found.
The boat took off. He fell off. The boat took off. And he was about 5 miles off the shore without a life jacket when this happened.
So he had to swim?
And he made it.
Oh.
Is that you?
I don't know what that was.
I think it's your phone. Or what? Is that your phone?
No, you know what? I know. It's the computer.
It's the computer?
Yes.
What's the computer doing?
It's
telling us something?
Me something.
That the show's over? That we've had enough?
It's dropping me a hint.
We've had enough of the show. The computer, when we're not funny enough, or if we're not telling enough information, the computer lets us know.
Exactly.
And that's the signal. Well, that's all I've got, Lee. Remember, there's one thing I want you to take home from today's show. If you're on a boat and you're alone, put on a life jacket. Or a tether.
Or just swim better.
Or have a tether. No, he made it. This guy actually made it.
Exactly. So be a good swimmer.
Be a good swimmer. If you're out alone, be a good swimmer and don't fall off your boat. That's the other thing as well. Okay, Lee, I want to thank our guest today, Karen Jasinski from O2MaxFitness.com.
Prom Fitness.
Check out PromFitness.com as well. Where do you see Prom Fitness? Not on the notes. Where do you see that?
Look, I do my research, doctor.
Both. All right, check them both out. And also, make sure you check out drfitnessandthefatguy.com. Check out our new book, 35 Things to Know to Raise Active Kids. A great little book. Easy to read. Lots of great ideas to keep your kids healthy, fit, and active. Well, that's all we have today. For Lee Cantor, I am Dr. Adam Shaffrin. Every week, we're making healthy living
fun for everyone.
We'll see you next time.